You are listening to the INCJ podcast, Conversations about International Criminal Justice.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our International Network Criminal Justice podcast. It's called Drama in Prisons, Berlin Style. This episode is co-produced with a Chinese podcast called Prison Desires, and we hope you enjoy the international cross-boundary nature of INCJ. Now, we're now in our third episode in a series called Just Arts, so you can catch up on earlier topics if you want to via our website. We're talking to leading arts practitioners around the world about their work with people in prisons and community settings. And we hope you can draw inspiration and new ideas from their experiences and very different perspectives. My name's John Scott, and today I'm sharing the hosting with a colleague from De Montfort University. So, how about you introduce yourself, Xiaoye?
Hello, everyone, again. Welcome to our Just Arts series. My name is Xiaoye. I'm here at De Montfort University in Leicester, UK. Originally, I'm from Beijing, but now I'm lecturing in the UK. So let me introduce and welcome our guest speaker today, Holger Schubert. I think I'm missing like the vibration of the tongue for the surname. But Holger is from Berlin, Germany, for today's podcast on drama in prison. Holger, it's great to have you here. I think we met a decade ago in London in a conference, not 100% sure. Luckily, neither of us remember each other, so that's fine. But I've been a huge fan, so really glad to have Holger on today. Can you maybe introduce yourself and talk, tell our listeners what is your current role as the founding member of Aufbruch and what you're working on at this moment, please?
Yeah, hi, welcome. My name is Holger Söbel, and I'm one of the directors of the prison theater project Aufbruch. I founded this project nearly 30 years ago now, and we had lots of busy times in this. And at the moment, we work on an actual prison theater project, Waiting for Godot, and we will have it, the first performance, in the end of January in the Plötzensee prison in Berlin.
So what we're really keen to find out about Holger isn't just about the company, but also what's your story? How did it all begin for you?
Yeah, that's a really long question or a long story behind them. But maybe there are some basic things to know. Because I would say, I was born behind bars, and it's just I'm coming from East Germany, and so we left there behind a kind of wall. And that was dominating the whole life in a way. And so then after school also, I had to decide which kind of profession I want to make. And it was a difficult question because many of these professions had something to do with the ideology, and so I didn't find a really good idea, and that's why then I decided to become an artist. And
so what sort of art? I mean, were you into drama as a young person?
Not really. I wasn't really interested in this. I was in school like everybody, and so I didn't have really an idea what I wanted to do. And then as I decided to become an artist, I started drawing and painting. This was my main activity. And art was something, it was like an island in a social context. Everybody was seeing something in this, and everybody thought maybe I can find answers in art, or in it can be painting something, it can be also theater. And so I started also to interest on theater. We often went to the theaters because there often were interesting discussions, and you could read a lot of things between the lines. So that developed my interests on theater, but I never was acting or wasn't studying acting or something. That is, I was working a long time then in the underground because it was also in GDR, it was giving an official scene, and there was the idea was the socialistic realism, but there was also a big underground scene, lots of people there making some kind of art, making their own thing. And so it was not possible to study in GDR for me because they didn't let me. They said, no, you're not good enough, you're not on our line, and something like this. And then as the wall was falling down, then after this, I began to study.
So, I mean, for many people listening, whether it be in the West or different types of ideology, it sounds as if your education was a really tough time for you because it sounds like you were something of a rebel, and yet you had to discover for yourself what you believed, and you couldn't take a standard route through education and get qualifications. You had to, in a way, be free to choose your own way.
You know, that's, it can be a long discussion about this also. It is true. It was possible to go not an official way. But then you have to decide you can't get everything. You can't get if you want to be a doctor or study medicine or something like this, it was not so easy possible. Then you must be really online and making all the political things they want from you. And so, but there were also other fields, you know, there were, you can do other jobs or other things. And I wasn't really a rebel or something like this. I was one of many young people. They were looking for another way or so. Yeah. And, you know, it were in the 80s. This was also the time of punk. And also the punk scene also came to the GDR. Yeah. So we all knew them, and we made some music, we made films, and we made exhibitions and all these things. So it was more in a private frame and private flats and all these things. So so yeah, it was a really interesting and funny time too. So
art was the way you expressed your ideas and reached out to other people.
Yeah, sure. This was my way to come clear with the situation, and so this kind of expression was really interesting and really funny for me, and it gives me also a good feeling to live, to make things, and so I believe it until today that art is a really good way to express yourself and to solve problems also in a way.
Mm. And then the wall came down, and that obviously for your whole society was just an enormous opening opportunity, but for you as well. How did opportunities open up for you?
Yeah, I got the opportunity to study then after this, yeah. And also a lot of other opportunities too. And But I was really young. I was in the 20s, and so it was also a big change. Yeah, many things in my system of thinking were changing. I had we had a completely other idea of private things or of how society should work. And it was also an intensive process of learning, trying to making mistakes too, and so on. So, but then I began to study, and I studied also in East Berlin, and all the teachers, the professors there were still the old professors. And so we had also a lot of trouble then, and they said, oh yeah, no, we don't want you as a student, because I like to make action painting and body painting and such things. And they were still in a much more traditional way than I was in this time. And they decided also to throw me out. And so then I find in the university there one other section, this was the stage design section, and they said, oh yeah, come to us, you look interesting, you make crazy stuff, it's good. And so that was the way as I came to theater and began my professional career in this sector. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At the beginning of studying and working in theater, did you work with theater companies in Berlin? Because I worked for a theater festival, so I know in Berlin is a really vibrant theater thing. So how did you, what was your involvement with the theater thing at the start, and how did you begin to focus on prison theater when you have so much else going on in Berlin?
So I think it's not easy to come into theater sector. Everybody wants to be in there, and it's really a hype thing, and so on. And so I started in different directions. I was working for state theaters too, as a stage designer and making things there. And I also started with own companies, with free companies to realize projects. And did some there, some there, some there. And I worked with a colleague, and he worked with homeless people. And with them, we often had the problem that they, in the night, took from the police and put into the prison or something like this. And if we need them for performance, something like this, we had to go to the prison and to get them out of the prison. And so this was the first contact we had with the prison. And then we met people, talked about things and so on. And somebody said, yeah, maybe it's also good to make something in the prison. And I said, yeah, we don't know a lot about the prison. It's just a big gray thing from concrete for us. And it sounds interesting. And that's why we decided then to try this, to start this.
For you, do you have a distinction between proper theater or mainstream theater and applied theater, which some country like the UK have that distinction? For you, did you have to make a choice? Do I want to be a director working in a large theater, or do I want to work with communities of people and have more social issues or more like applied projects?
We in Germany, we have not so much this discussion about community theater and applied mm-hmm. theater. We have it too, but it's not so common. We have often discussion about good and bad theater and about experimental things, new things, and so that's why it's all of them can be really good and really interesting. And as I said, I worked a lot in state theaters, and there I had sometimes brilliant possibilities to realize concepts as a stage designer and build big stages and complex ideas. But the work in the prison, it became bigger and bigger, and the interest became bigger and bigger on this, because we tried there also to develop it as a professional artistic thing. We want to develop professional artistic shows, and we train the inmates that they can solve this in a way. So we want that the audience is coming in and forgetting that they are in a prison. They should see an interesting show. They should see an interesting piece of art, and they should forget that the people they are playing there may be murders, maybe something like this. So that's the thing. That's our approach to make a really high professional theater project there, and get there the audience that they say, okay, I have a big respect of these people. They make this. They play there. They perform there.
We're really interested.
Has it always?
Sorry, you can see we really want to come in now. Can we just pause you there to ask specifically about Aufbruch? Sounds to me like you have a very specific purpose, and it would probably help our listeners to know how it all began, and even something simple about what does the name mean. So could we just check that out before we dig deeper?
Yeah, okay. So something about the name. It's interesting. It's that the real name is Aufbruch Art Prison City. Aufbruch means start or restart, new beginning, something like this. And art is the base which we are using. What's our theme? The prison. From the prison, we gain our material, our actors, our stories, also in a way. And city is means we want to connect the city and the prison through art together. So we want to bring the prison back to the society on one side, and on the other side, we want to bring the art into the prison. So I think prisons has a long story and play a important role in the society, but nobody wants to see them. Nobody wants, they put it on the outside of the cities. You have to go along there to come in and so on. Nobody wants to see the reality of them. And that's one of our ideas to bring this together. Because all these inmates, all these criminal persons are elements of our society. And our society really has a big interest on crime. If I watch in the evening TV, 80% of them is about crime, or maybe I don't know how much exactly, but a lot of them. People love it to see this. And before, it's a good feel to make this with this contact with real persons.
Mm-hmm. How did the company begin?
Yeah, so the contact became about the situation with the homeless, and then we decided, okay, we start, we do something. At first, how we can found a group of inmates that they want to work with us. And so we decided to make some performances in the prison. And so besides, we had discussions with the director and with some politicians and some other people. How is it possible? Is it possible? And so on. And it was an endless story. We had over 1 year negotiations with the prison. But then, okay, said, okay, yeah, we start with some performances. And so we came in with some of our homeless actors, with some other actors, and We wanted to make a performance inside, and we make this in one of these really old-fashioned old buildings. It's like a movie coulisse. If you come in there, it is this panoptic system. It's a circle in the middle, and four wings go out, and we played in the middle there, and the inmates came on the higher floors from the wings to watch this, to see us, how we act there in the middle in the star. And yeah, it was really a big interest. People came, what crazy people came there to do something. And this one really special thing was I brought a goat with me, a real goat. Because yeah, we played the situation there. It was we played that was a castle, and the enemies around the castle and want to come in, and we are sitting in this castle and waiting and trying to overlive in this castle. And so there we played some scenes around this. And so the goat then was our last food, and I said, yeah, we must kill her. I want to eat her. I'm totally hungry. And the goat also was really afraid and was pissing on the stage and so on. So it was a really, really big thing. And then, yeah, we had a break in the middle, and one guard came, and he was also an old farmer. And he said, okay, I want to save the goat a bit. I want to keep her calm, and took her in his office and put some grass for her there. And so it was, the whole prison was talking some weeks just around us. So on that, I think the director, for him, I was really suspect 8 years later, but the ice was broken. And they said, okay, yeah. And yeah, some weeks later, we started with the first group of inmates, and 20 of the inmates came to said, okay, we heard a lot of interesting things about you. Maybe we do something together. That was the first beginning of the story. Okay.
So let's just get an idea of the scale of your work. So how many prisons do you currently work in, or do you work with at the moment?
Yeah, we started with one prison. The Tegel prison is one of the biggest in Berlin. This is our headquarter, our base. We started there, and we work every year there. But in Berlin, some more bigger prisons. So we work basically in the 3-4 biggest prisons in Berlin. It's the youth prison, the Plötzensee prison, the Heidering prison, and the Tegel prison. Mm-hmm. And in the other prisons, they are really, really small, and there is often not really the possibilities to make a theater project. Because if you want to make a project, for us, the important is that audience can come in, that audience can come into the prison, visit the performance in the prison. And it's always a mixed audience from inside and outside. So, yeah, our normal projects normally between 70 and 250 visitors per performance. And if you make a project, then we have between 6 and 13, 14 performances for such a project. So it's a big audience can come visit, discuss with the participants, and share the ideas or the experience they get inside with other people outside. So it's a way to transport this knowledge.
Well, one thing I'm interested in, do you have women prisons as well, or is it just men?
We normally not really work in female prisons because they are really small in Berlin. So they're often just 30-something, 40 inmates, and they also don't have rooms to make performances, something like this.
So I was going to say my last specific question, and then I'll hand over to Gia, is do you have just a few professional actors, And then the rest of the cast is made up of people who are in the prison? Or how does it work? What's the dynamic?
We not work with professional artists inside. We just work with inmates. Okay. So they are playing everything. Maybe if sometimes we have professional actors, they are sitting in the prison and then they can participate. We had some of them also. We are just coming from outside and we are guiding or directing, organizing the way how it can take place. And so we are a team of from outside who is making this. And this is Peter Atanasov. He's directing most of the performances. Sibylle Arndt, she is the production manager. And we three, we are leading the project together. And then we have a musical trainer and a dramaturg and a costume designer and one or two assistants or something like this. And that's basically our crew from outside. We organize all the things, do all the things. And the rest are the guys from inside.
I was going to ask, did you always had this clear vision from the start where the focus is to bring the city and the prison to each other? And did you always had tickets sold outside and audience members can go in and watch? And if that's the case, I'm interested in what is the motivation on the prison side? Because for my working with prison system over a decade, they're very risk averse, I think, in most countries. So it's a lot of commitment for them as well in terms of security, organization, and maybe funding. I don't know who's funding you, but what is their motivation for collaborating when you're not really targeting, say, real funding specifically? You're targeting something on a larger, more societal, structural scale that might not be very immediate benefit for them.
Just have to think about the beginning of the question. That's why. That's a clear vision. It was one of our first ideas. In this context, bring the city and the society and the prison together. This was the name from the beginning of the project. And so we started with this idea. And just in the beginning, we said theater needs audience. And we have to bring audience from outside also. We want to make the prison a bit more transparent. Because if nobody knows what's going on in the prison, that's also not a good standard for the society. And the prison can show their methods, can show how it is. This is the real situation, and it's okay to show this, to make this visible. The society has a right to see what's going on there. And yeah, but it, as I told it, it was a long discussion with the prison about this, and they try to avoid lots of risks always. And there are just now 30 years later, many people, they said, we are a prison and not a theater, and we don't want to let people in. We want to keep our prison as a prison. And yeah, but I think many of the directing people of the prison understand that we are doing a lot of work for them, because this is resocialization is one task of them, and everybody knows they should make it, or we should make a resocialization with the inmates or something, but nobody really know how to do this. what is to do. And we just offered them one way how to do this. And yeah, maybe I have to explain a little bit more how it works, because we are a really intensive project. So it is it's normally it's in the free time, it's in the afternoon, but it's we rehearse for 8-9 weeks, 4 or 5 days a week, for 4 or 5 hours. So it's a really long period, really intensive period we have together, and where the group is together and where they have something to do, where they have tasks, where they have learned something, and where they are members of a group. And these are really, really basic things for develop social skills. If they are hanging around whole time alone, maybe this has also sometimes effects, but if it's too long, it has not a positive development. So what they have to learn is to be by themselves responsible for things and to be able to work in a group, in a social environment. And but normally if they are in there, they can't work from point A to point B alone. They have to have somebody who is open the door for them, and so they for every door they start to wait. And it's, you know, that's not a really good vision, I think. And so we try to work really intensive with them, and we try to create really a professional product with them, and to present this to a society, to an audience they can understand. These are normal people that are sitting there. They can do some things. They can do things for them. For this, I want to applause. They can create high quality things, and it is. I think it's an important understanding.
Have you come across any major challenge or major resistance incident that really kind of maybe had a bigger impact on your work? For example, when I did a drama club in one of the prisons, we had interference from the management on what kind of script we should be doing. So they want a bit like the stories you were telling at the beginning and how it's ideology and politics are interfering. And one of the prisoners decided to quit the project, and he wrote a long letter saying that art should not be compromised. That was a very interesting experience. We also had, during our rehearsal time, violent incidents, so our project couldn't really go in anymore. What kind of problems do you encounter in your work?
I think we had all problems you can have. We had so that's problems are normal. Problems are the usual daily life.
I think. And do you have like maybe one story that you could share with us? Like interesting story.
I must think about No, yeah, it is often things that our work is too much for participants, that they want to leave, and it is often that people are not respecting the crime of the others and said, no, I'm better than him, and so on. So this is a difficult situation, and it's bringing such conflicts. They are sometimes really horrible. So in one play, we had it that 2 days before the premiere was five of the participants said, no, we leave the group. We don't want to work together with pedophile people and something like this. Mm-hmm. And they said, we go. And we said, yeah. That's really a bad situation. But then the other inmate said, yeah, now they are away, but we want to play. We want to do it. And we said, well, it's just one day. We have a lot of work. But then we sat together and, So then we decided, okay, we do this. We leave this away and we make a kind of a bit more like a collage or something like this. But then one day later, all the guys, they still were there. They were on stage playing the play, and the normal audience wasn't knowing that there was another situation and five people went away. So that's why it was also a really interesting and good project at the end.
On that note, can I ask a question about the text? Because when I was working in prison, a major difficult challenge we had was we have different expectation or tastes or likings in art compared to the prisoners. Did you find that you need to negotiate? Did you have moments where they like, oh, I don't really like this play that you brought in, or I don't understand it, or it doesn't connect with us? Or did you just bring that and tell them this is what we're doing and you will get it at the end?
We have this discussion with us often in the beginning of the project. They said, oh, this is stupid, this is boring, I don't understand anything. And we said, yeah, we also don't understand all of them. Normally, they want to make a review over Berlin or something like this. So, now, normally, they trust us also. If we say we want to make this, we often use dramatic texts, historic texts, modern texts, but we use plays normally. We change this plays then also, these playwrights. Because in the beginning of the project, we don't know how many participants we will have. We don't know how many people speaking German, how many people are able to learn text and all this. But to apply money, you have to do 2 years before normally. There we have to explain which kind of project we want to make. And so that's why we have a plan. We're sitting together and plan what we want to do in the next 2 years, develop a plan, applications, and try to get the money. And then came in with the text and the first procedure in our process is like also kind of casting, but it means normally not we cast them, they cast us, because they have, we make clear what we want in the next 3 months from them, and 3 or 4 months. We explain them how much work it will be and what will come. They have to organize their life in a different way for the next 3 months, to organize their telephone calls and all these things, or if they have to meet the lawyer or some things, or visits, and some, all this have to be organized in another kind. And so this they have to understand in the first 3-4 rehearsals. And after this, then we close the group a bit. We said, okay, now you have to be there, and now you must be a member of the group, and you must come to rehearsals, then we can oversee a bit how many roles we have, how many actors we have, how many texts one person can learn, and so on. And so normally for the basic thing, we have chorus passages. So in the chorus, everybody is in. Everybody has to learn the chorus. If some people, they're totally not speaking German, they often learn the rhythm or something like this, and they give their, but they are members of the chorus, and they have to be also with their possibilities in this chorus and on time and in the rhythm. And so the whole group has to solve things together. And this is a really good fundament of the work. And in this course, you also often see who can make more, who must have less, who can just move, just make dance or choreographic elements, or just sing. So this is also the process what we learn in the beginning of the rehearsals, and then we start to give the roles to the people. And there, often also some people said, I don't want to play this and I don't want to play this, and there are lots of conflicts. But this conflicts, that's the work, to solve this conflicts and to bring solutions for this, how we make it. And there are often plays where you have female roles, but we just have boys, and there were sometimes there was difficult that they said, I don't want to play a girl, but then we say, you must not play girly or something like this. You play it just like you want to play it. But everybody will understand you are a woman in this play. Also in Shakespeare times, it was normal that men playing the female roles and so on. So and we do it in the, for us, it's the normal way. Then they accept this. And then it's always we find really good actors for the female roles. And so there is also a really good story from year ago. We did the Three Penny Opera by Brecht in the Tegel prison, and so then all roles were given to the players, and then I said, there are just the prostitutes, the house of prostitutes in Turnbridge, and who can play this? We need minimum two. And then Peter asked, hey, is anybody also able to play this role of the prostitutes? And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people said, I want. So then at the end, we had a big ensemble of really, really nice prostitutes. They impressive played this scene. So... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember watching the short documentary on the Don Quixote production in Tegel, and they were interviewing one of the inmates that played a female role. Yeah. Hey, John, shall I hand it over to you?
Okay, now we are really interested to know about the reception of the work and what the impact is on audiences. How do your audiences respond?
How to explain it best? Normally, we have an online shop where we sell tickets, and there we have a email, a newsletter that we write to all the people we know. We sell the tickets on this date at 12 o'clock, and then normally at 1 o'clock is all sold out, because people are interested. They want to see it. We have lots of people that come often, or they come, but we always have a new audience. People, they come, want to see this. And after the performance, normally we have an open discussion. We have the possibility. It's a safe part of our performances that after this, they can meet and talk one to the other. And this is also, it's a really easy way to come in contact, and people use this. They came after the show, they came on the stage and said, hey, it was great. And, I never believed that somebody can play this role so, or something like this. And so they have often really private contact then also with the actors. And so it is for the audience, it's always an interesting way. You come into the prison with a view, with a kind of stigma also of the prison, or you want to see how it is real in the prison, and you want to see real real inmates or something like this. It is a bit like a zoo effect or something like this. Yeah. And yeah, this, we want to avoid this. That's why we want to say we don't show the life of the inmates there. We show a theater performance and we show persons, they try to create art and share this with an audience. And what we want to have is we want to get the respect for the work we are doing there.
Do you think public perception is changed because the prisons are opened up to a public audience?
I think yes, in a way. So the prison was changed in this time because they hadn't a theater before, and now is it to have a prison to have a theater in a prison in Berlin? It's a kind of an usual normal thing. It is part of the prison that there is possible to have prison theater there, and so I can only talk about a small percentage of people that go in the theater, or they especially go in the prison theater. But all the people, they came to us, or many of them said, yeah, my view was changed. Much is changed now. I didn't expect it, this kind of art, of intensive exchange as it was. And if you think in a wider view on this, normally then they will be released and they will leave the prison and they live next to us. They will be my neighbors, and so it's good if I can respect him, if I can came in contact with him. And if it's not like an animal or something like this, I don't want to have contact or something like this. Yeah. So, and that's for this theater is a bridge, I would say.
Can you make videos which could meet a wider audience?
We can make videos and we can make a documentation, but it's not a film or something like this, you know, and it's showing just a kind of picture of something. And so we in the Corona times we did a documentation of the play we did there. It was Fidelio. And this was then in the Mediathek of the national TV. So for 3 months, this was there then in the Mediathek. And I think it had 15,000 watches. It was quite a lot. And so it is possible. It is, if you want to make TV production in a high quality, it's a special thing and it's expensive and so we don't have the capacity to do this really. We make a documentation for us and for our participants, they get it also that they have a documentation what they have done and I can remember on this. And normally we have the rights to use the pictures or the photos also of the inmates. We make a contract with them. If somebody would say, I don't want to be visible, we have to accept this and make a black bulk on this or something like this. Yeah. But you know, it's theater is a live act and a live contact is always a special thing. It's another thing than to watch TV.
And it's the live engagement which brings the issues of the content to the audience. And my suspicion is that probably excites the actors as well. And that engagement builds a bridge between the audience and the people in the prison.
Yeah, sure. One example, we often make open air productions because there we can have more audience, it's a bigger space, we can work outside, and it's perfect. Normally it's perfect, but sometimes it's rain. And if it's raining, it's a difficult situation. But then normally we play also if it rains normally. And then the audience, they get capes against the rain and sitting there. And sometimes if it's just normal rain, they sit 1.5 hours in the rain and watching our actors playing in the rain. And these performances, they are so intensive. And at the end, you think, wow, the audience and the group, they are so, so close together, have such an energy together. And yeah, so these are incredible moments, and the people will not forget these things.
Shared experience, absolutely. To ask perhaps a harder question. Have victims or victim support groups ever engaged with your work? And how do you approach that ethically?
Normally, we don't have a lot of contact with them because this is, it's an separated group, and they work or they are more in an individual exchange. And there are sometimes there are coming comments that they said, yeah, for the victim is you do nothing, you just for the inmates now you do things. But there is the victims, they are not a group that you can get, you know. There are individuals, and I think it's a more individual kind of exchange which is necessary there.
Mm. So mediation, for example, is one-to-one, whereas you're working with a whole group. I get that.
Yeah.
I'm wanting to ask another maybe hard question. Do you have any ways of measuring the success of your productions?
I don't know how really you can measure this. I can see the personal effects on every of the participants, and I see that people they were before the production were not be able to speak a clear sentence, or we were we not to able to watch into your eyes or something like this. And they often develop lots of new skills, as this language skills, as the social skills, as this self-esteem, as time management or responsibility for things and so on. And this is normally you can measure this in a way. You can also measure the effects, how many visitors were there, how many visitors from outside, also how many visitors from inside watched the project, reflected about this, you can measure how many people there from the beginning to the end of the project and. But you never can measure how many people fell back in criminal activities after released through theater group or something. You can't measure this. There are too much factors. They are coming together in this process. What we do is we try also to work with ex-inmates. We make also projects with ex-inmates or with inmates of the open prison. So if they are released and often they don't find jobs or something like this, so it's a difficult situation there often. And once a year, we make one outside production. And there we work with people from the open prison, with inmates there in the last phase of the sentence, but also with ex-inmates and also sometimes with some actors. So therefore, we're looking for a special place outside the prison and make one production there where all these people can go on. And so they gain new contacts. They came in new free time activities and all these things.
Mm. That reminds me of a company in the UK called Clean Break.
I met her 2 days ago. I met her in
Italy.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because they have like two sides of their work, working within and also working with playwright and put on plays in like Royal Court, like really popular theatres, to discuss their work or have an impact, kind of public educative side advocacy. So I'm interested in, so for 30 years you've worked on building theater in Berlin prisons. How about other cities in Germany? Are there any other like impact on other parts of Germany? And also have you ever invited specifically criminal justice staff members, for example probation officers, because some of them also need to be educated in their values, working, and they are the people who work with so many, like, people involved in criminal justice in their lives.
Yeah, so our performances are always open for participants from the social justice system or from the criminal justice system. They often people from the staff came to visit the performances too, and also lots of people from other prisons came to visit the social pedagogic department from other prisons came to visit the performances in other prisons. So they are often really interested and were really open, and so that's why that was also the way that we came from one prison to the other, because they saw, okay, they make a really intensive and good project with good results, and maybe it's for a prison also not so bad, and that's why they often decide, okay, maybe we can work together with them. Yeah, but prison theater is not a usual thing in Germany. We are a really small community in Germany. They're doing such projects, and so especially in this kind of intensity, how we work, we're really unique. So there are in some towns are some initiatives and some projects. They also make theater projects, and there are 3, 4, 5 projects they work on continually and longer based or orientated way. But often there are just some projects, some smaller project, and then we do something else. So that's it's not so known. It has not such a tradition or something like this. So Italy is a country with a really big prison theater tradition, and also with this kind of artistic focus. So in England, there is often the question after the social impact therapy. And so this is the reason to allow this or to do this there. There were also some other projects, but there are lots of companies, they make like this kind of therapeutic projects. Just also we are in cooperation with one other project with the Geith Theatre from Birmingham, and they work with masks. And so we have a cooperation with them now at the moment. So, and I would say it's good. It's good to have a bright scene with different approaches, with different methods of working. And I would say every everybody has to go his own way, have to find his own methods and develop his own style. And so I never would make therapeutic projects because I'm not a therapist and I don't know really what it is. I'm an artist, or we are artists, and we decided to go this way. But there are also lots of really interesting and good projects are existing.
Is that
are you happy?
Sorry, go to your show, man.
Go, John. It's fine. Your turn.
Well, that seems absolutely fascinating. And I think Joyeux and I want to return to that topic. And Holger, if you can bear it, we would like to invite you maybe with colleagues from other countries so that we could look at different ways that drama is used in prisons. You've set out very strongly how you've taken an arts view, and that's been, I'm going to say, dramatic to hear about that. Now, there's time just for one last word from you, Holger, to an international audience about how the arts can contribute to justice. Do you have something you can say to us all?
Yeah, I think it's art is important for every part of the society, and also for the justice system, and everybody has the right to participate in art, and it should be so also in a justice system. And I believe on the strong power of expression of your own identity and your problems, that it can be helpful to solve problems and to bring a better communication and a better culture into the prison in general.
I think I just want to say amen to that. What a strong, strong point. we've lost Joe. Yeah.
Right on time.
The lights have gone out.
My light's like, at the it's university. Time. Stop it.
It's yeah. Time to stop the podcast, yeah. Everybody. It is. We want to draw to a conclusion. And we want to end by giving a really big thank you to our presenter today, Holger Zurbe. And we know that the story of Aufbruch is bound to inspire people who love drama and who love working in prisons, and people finding out more about themselves through the process of acting and putting on a production. It's been a really great listen today for us, and we hope for you out there. Now, we're planning in our series to reach out to China, Australia, and a true crime writer in future podcasts. So please keep an eye open for upcoming events on Just Arts. Thanks to everyone for watching and listening to this podcast or YouTube. If you enjoyed this session of Just Arts, do encourage your colleagues to listen and join our conversation by visiting INCJ's website at criminaljusticenetwork.net, or go to Spotify or your preferred podcast provider to find other topics of interest to you. So, auf Wiedersehen from the three of us. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You have been listening to the INCJ podcast, conversations about international criminal justice. To find out more, go to our website at criminaljusticenetwork.net or follow us on Twitter at INTCJ Network.